This edition of The Stack was first broadcast on the 2nd of August 2014 on Monocle 24.
Clever publishing to peruse by the pool, glossy spreads that satisfy, sandproof or not, reflect on retreat with well-written prose or fill the journey time with an appropriate journal. Whether it's balmy on deck in the Bahamas or brisk seaside in Brittany, we review some perfect print while away for the summer. This is edition 101 of The Stack. An interiors classic filled with Spanish sun, a medical manual for the masses, and the British countryside's finest properties. We take a look inside the travel bag of our two special guests today as we find out the weird and wonderful magazine titles that they choose to fill those long summer days with. Plus, we pop in on the perfect place to stock up before checking in, a newsagent with a difference.
I think what has happened in the last few years also, the market has become quite defined in terms of food and culture and living and all these kind of areas, which was not.
All that and much more besides today on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to Studio 2 here at Midori House for this 101st edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Berlay. Today we have the second installment of our Stack Summer Special, complete. I have to say, my colleague Rob Bound is actually beside me. Rob, I just have to cut to the sound effects in the background. It really sounds like our guest. Should we say who's with us in studio today?
Let's not call him a third wheel.
No, absolutely not.
The august commentator, Peter York.
Is here.
Is rustling about.
Indeed. And of course, as is our culture editor, Rob Bound. But I like that the sound effects are going on because it actually sounds like you're getting out your bucket and spade and many other things. Hello, Mr. York. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you.
Now, has summer officially kicked in or not for Mr. York?
Not for me, but we're going to pretend it has.
Okay, why not?
Of course it hasn't, because I never go anywhere. I am the complete opposite of you. I never go to foreign countries, except when somebody's paying me or I've got to do it for work. I will have a bucket and spade holiday in September.
Okay.
On the Dorset coast. And I will go to Edinburgh, but I rarely go to exotic locations.
Rob, with a very fine chambray shirt. I would sort of say kind of beach hair today almost.
It's bedding in, or it looks like it's been bedded.
Well, you look like the height of summer right here, actually.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I tried to bring some titles that brought the summer, brought the smell of Factor 20 or maybe Factor 6.
We were just saying last, so Monocle Mediterraneo, hopefully out on newsstands, of course, all around the Med and hopefully elsewhere around the world as well. You've been to Greece for us, reporting this summer?
I went from Greece to...
You've been to Italy, but that's a little something which is coming up in the September issue.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to the art dealer, Mr. Larkin O'Neill, correct?
Which he sends his regards.
Yes, lovely gentleman.
Yeah,
lovely
good.
Gallery. And where else have you been this summer?
Well, I've been to Spain as well, and to Italy, to Greece. And then next weekend, I'm doing the staycation thing. While my parents are going away, I'm house-sitting. That includes garden and dog. So that's going to be good.
Right.
And fiancé. So that's kind of going
to
be...
Is that the first time this has been disclosed on these airwaves? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, I bought some gossip mags. I mean, I'm surprised it's not in there.
We should probably kick off by looking at everyone's stacks.
I thought it was just the way you were sitting.
I was going to say, what kind of swimwear do you need for that? And I spy Vanity Fair on the far side of the table. This is. Do you want to start with Vanity Fair, Peter?
It's a staple. And of course I would take it on my imaginary holiday, and I will take it on my Buck and Spade holiday. And of course the key thing about the current Vanity Fair...
The August cover
is the battle for Claridge's. Of course, there's lots about Prince George, and there's a whole supplement full of jewellery. It's like those supplements full of watches. I chuck them. But I am interested in the battle for Claridge's between quite rich and very rich people, one Irish, one not, the very reclusive Barclay brothers.
Mm. Now, just I want to talk about the cover, because if you sort of were whizzing by the newsstand, it looks like a cover of Majesty magazine, in fact. Because I always feel that Majesty, because it's always a royal, in a rolling dale somewhere, there's always that green background. Always on that. And here we have it as well. Just cover assessment, Peter. What's your take on it?
It doesn't look very Vanity Fair. It doesn't look very Annie Leibovitz. It doesn't look any of those things. But maybe the point is, you expect a bit of wholesome banality with a royal person, don't you? So that's how it should be.
I suppose that's a UK-only cover, isn't it? I guess two or three times a year, they just the British version.
Yeah.
Does it
do you think so? But this, yeah. but I think this is something that would, of course, fly off the shelves in the US as well.
Yes. Though.
I guess so.
I think with people of all nations.
Is it breaking rules that we don't have any eye contact?
Oh, what, to the camera?
Because,
looking out, yeah. It's an intimate family moment. And Prince George and Prince William
it's an
have
intimate,
the same hair.
Modern, youngish. Whereas Kate has American hair.
Yeah, she does.
Nice American hair.
Mm. Have you digested this issue yet or not? This is actually going to be something for this weekend.
Because... It's going to be something for this weekend.
Okay.
The assault, but there's it's a completely hotel-oriented issue.
Mm.
Because the other big thing is the protest against the Sultan of Brunei and his imposition of Sharia law. And therefore, liberal celebrities are assaulting the Beverly Hills Hotel. And saying, oh, it's only hurting the staff. That's a very good PR line. You're only hurting the staff.
and we saw this during the most recent Fashion Week. Everyone putting a pointy heel down, saying that they weren't going to stay at any of the Sultan's properties anywhere in the world during the Fashion Week. And of course, Fashion Week doesn't really happen in Los Angeles. But when it rolled into town here, I'm not going anywhere near the Dorchester. And I believe it's the Principe is also the other property as well. And so everyone decamped from there. Do you think
David Tang will decamp from the Dorchester? Probably not.
Probably not, no. Should we move from Vanity Fair? Rob, you've got something else from the Condé Nast stable, but it's the Madrid branch. I think this is a great cover. I think this is also the first issue under the new editor, Mr. Pastor, because as we recall, the former editor passed away some months ago now. But a favorite magazine, always around the office. Why did you pick it up?
It's always a good one. This is my one sort of proper glossy choice, actually, today. It just makes you feel, even if you're not on holiday, if you're going to the Sussex coast rather than the Spanish coast, for example, you feel like you're there because the photography is so rich. Obviously, the properties that they shoot are absolutely phenomenal. It's kind of like World of Interiors if it was always sunny and it was sort of never in England. It's sort
Should
of
your parents be
thing.
Scared that you're leaving, that they're leaving alone at the house, that it's going to come back with some sort of Moorish fantasy and you're going to have lots of pillows made out of kilims and things like that?
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. And I'm going to get some netting involved.
Yeah, I think a nice piece. Yeah, a few pieces of nice Brazilian modernism I think would be nice to punctuate the living room when they come back.
Yeah, maybe a seaside theme as well. I mean, bring the seaside to you. Maybe some buoys, some anchors, some netting, a plastic lobster on the ceiling.
What does the Spanish edition of AD do well that makes it stand out? Because I think, of course, there's a French edition and I never get that excited by it. The German edition used to be okay. The American one, I can't even look at it.
I think the photography is amazing. I think the properties that they managed to get in their pages are amazing. I kind of think these are places that you know that these shoots are done with connections. Mm. You know, there's a bit of a family feel to it rather than Starkitect, rather than the Côte d'Azur kind of thing as well. It's got a different, I guess there's a different light in all that photography.
Peter, is it important for you, if you are a reader of Spanish AD, that you see a lot of Spain reflected in the pages of the magazine? That you get a nice property in Mallorca and maybe a lovely penthouse in Seville and then sort of a bit of a Spanish flavor around the world? Or do you want to see a house from the Hamptons, even though it's not sort of owned by, you know, maybe one of the owners of Zara or something? Do you want to see other corners of the world?
I don't immediately think of Spain first in this context. I may be wrong. And of course, I imagine that all Spanish properties are available empty for 30 bob now because of the construction boom and bust. But there may be some rich Spaniards who have lovely places, and I'm willing to be surprised.
Well,
I say that in a caring multinational.
Of course you do. I mean, and I think as Rob flips through the page, I think there are obviously a number of Spanish people who are doing incredibly well, aren't there, Rob?
There certainly seem to be. We need to make friends with some of these people as well, I think.
Oh, I think we might even know one or two of them,
I recognise that. I recognise that bedside
table. You recognise that headboard, I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, I know. I had to repaint it after I banged my head on that. Spanish AD is one of those ones. When it comes in the office, it's kind of fought over.
I see Country Life, which couldn't be more opposite.
Underneath it.
Oh, surprise.
25 Beautiful Homes.
Right.
It's the most wonderful magazine. It is an absolute counterpart to all ADs. Amongst other things, it's got 25 beautiful homes, not
always.
Four.
Does it always do what it says on the cover?
It almost, well, it's a manor house in Lancashire, country-style oast house, Edinburgh apartment. What could be nicer?
Nice.
And it started being as being the magazine of the Middletons, literally.
Mm, yeah.
But you got the Middleton style of home counties, nice, you know, quite pleasant new money. And now it's become much more eclectic in every way, you know, where it goes, what it shows. So I found my upstairs neighbour's flat.
Oh, really?
In it, yes.
It looks quite Delia's Kitchen.
It does look quite Delia's Kitchen, but I tell you, my upstairs neighbour's flat isn't at all Delia's Kitchen.
But Peter, just for our listeners maybe in Santiago and in Napier, New Zealand, wherever they might be, just tell, what is the comfort zone of 25? What will we see, what will we not see?
Well, we used to think that we would see only comfortable bourgeois houses which weren't designer houses, but quite ambitious and pretty well off. But 25 of them, and real, so they were at whatever we say in the scale from pioneer, early adopter, not quite, somewhere between early adopter and mainstream, but better off. And now there isn't quite a comfort zone. You wouldn't see mad places, you wouldn't see schlosses, you wouldn't see chicken shacks like you would see in interiors.
Mm. So it's about homes rather than property.
It's about homes rather than property. Also about homes rather than, as it were, art directions. Because some of the more extreme magazines are about art direction, interesting ideas for people who are in the business, who will then convert that into something. Very probably a bit of art direction in a movie or a stage set rather than a real home for a real person.
Rob, we're going to go to a short break, but before we do, we should just dissect the cover of Ola. You just have to have it, right? Doesn't even matter whether you're in Italy.
It's amazing.
I mean, you might have Oggi.
Yeah, Oggi. If you get really lucky again. Ola is, I think it's just absolutely fantastic. I was excited when I picked this up from the newsagent yesterday. Mm. It's kind of got an amazing quality to it, better than Hello or OK in the UK, because you don't quite know who anyone is, which is brilliant. I mean, we've got a long lens picture on the front cover of a babe in a bikini in the sea, looking a bit annoyed to have her photograph taken. I think she's the girlfriend of the Spanish national goalkeeper,
right?
Iker Casillas.
And her name is Sara.
I think she's Sara, yeah. Sara Ica, Romantica Escapada y Almieria.
And there's also a cover theme as well, because she's got...
It's very much a summer beach.
Well, we've got a gingham top. Don't we have a gingham shirt on the cover of Vanity Fair as well, Peter?
Yes, we do.
Separated at birth, her and Prince William. and it's good. So you don't quite know who anyone is. We've got a bit of Prince George in the back. Yeah, European royals. Mm. A lot of sort of footballers' wives.
European royals.
Yeah, and it's always rich pickings.
Peter, do you want Ola or Hello or any of their cousins? Do you want to read them on an iPad?
No, not particularly.
Paper's nice.
I absolutely grew up on Ola at a time when we didn't have Hello. It hadn't happened yet. And it was a complete marvel and a wonderful bit of Euro kitsch. And it always had Euro royalty and they always looked the same. And it was terribly polite. There was that woman, the countess or whatever she was called, who did all the interviews.
But it's still very nice, isn't it?
It's still very nice. But I don't read it in practice.
No.
Maybe I should.
But look at the empty houses that have been borrowed for the week that people are pretending they own in Greece and things like that. That's really nice. That's every house in Spain is up for grabs for 30 pub a week. It's true.
That's going to be a little revenue driver also when you're babysitting your parents' house as well. They're going to be like, oh, look, there's our front room. Look who's in it.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24 with me, Tyler Brulé, and Peter York and Robert Bounder going away for a very short break. We're back in a moment.
The Globalist provides insight and analysis of the key news and business stories in Europe and the Middle East. Informed, engaging and authoritative, it's a 60-minute bulletin of news, features and opinion. Two presenters in London are joined by guests in our studio and all around the world, including Monocle's editors and friends in our Hong Kong and Tokyo bureau. The Globalist also features an extended daily newspaper review with a special guest here in Midori House. And of course, we round up the business headlines with an expert analyst in a key city. All that and more every weekday at 6 a.m. London time on The Globalist.
Hello and welcome back to this 101st edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Roulet, and Robert Bound and Peter York. Now, if you happen to be flying out of London en route to your holiday and would rather not chance the magazine offering at Heathrow or Gatwick, we can recommend scarcely better shop to sustain all your appetite for print. Just around the corner from us here at Midori House and two doors down from the Monocle Cafe, Shriji News has become a goldmine of high-quality publications, still a fully functioning newsagent offering convenience to the community. Rob, what else should a good newsagent offer?
I think it needs a really good rack out the front. Do you want a nice
rack? How many racks out front?
I think just one nice sort of metal rack with everything in it.
Well, and they do that, don't they?
Yeah, that's actually, but doesn't it make you don't even feel like you need to go inside?
Well, there is a cabinet. There should be a little hatch window, shouldn't there?
Exactly.
Well, we're going to speak to Sandeep Shriji. He spoke to our David Pleasant a little bit earlier about his business.
331.
Thank you.
Would you like a bag at all?
It's okay.
I'm Sandeep. We are standing in Chilton Street, one of the main streets in Marylebone, a nice quaint street, and had the business for over 30 years now. Started off pretty much as a general news agent, but we've kind of developed more of the magazine, the print side of it. We work a lot with ad agencies and graphic and media companies, and because of the kind of mix that has come into the area over the last 5-10 years, we have concentrated more and more on actually getting unusual and independent titles and gone a bit away from the sort of run-of-the-mill titles that are available in most newsagents.
That process, it's noticeable. I mean, every time we come in, we see kind of new titles, up-and-coming things that even we haven't heard of. How does it work? Do people approach you? You say you work with advertising agencies. How are you getting your name out and how are people hearing about you and how are you going about getting this fantastic spread?
Well, I think the idea that we've been around for 30 years, that obviously makes a difference. One same business being around creates a kind of credibility and also what you're trying to do as a company. Apart from that, people come to us and we also start looking for titles.
You seem to really know exactly what you're talking about. You know about the latest magazines, you know what type of sector and the titles within that. How have you kind of acquired that knowledge? Has it come to you recently?
Well, it's happened over the last few years. Once you get asked for one title, you look for that. And in that process, you find other titles. And then I've looked online at other websites or other shops that have been selling a selection of titles. And I think what has happened in the last few years also, the market has become quite defined in terms of food and culture and living and all these kind of areas, which was not. You used to get things like BBC Good Food Guide, which was a very simple publication. Now it's become a very, very different field where you've got magazines like Serial, Kinfolk, Open House is something that we've got in recently. But I think a lot of credit has to go to some of the people who really began the journey. It's probably like Monocle. When they first came out, it was a unique title. And a lot of people have kind of caught on and then diversified from there. And then I think a lot of art companies who used to deal with books only, they're coming more and more into the field of magazines and going to independent publishers saying we can distribute for you. And we get that coming back as well to us.
Sorry, were you looking for anything?
Yeah, bridal magazines.
Bridal?
No, I'm just seeing them here.
Yes.
Thanks.
Sure.
So what have you bought there, if I can?
I've got two bridal magazines, just recently got engaged.
Congratulations.
So thank you.
So what have you gone for?
For my bridal skills now. You and Your Wedding, no idea about that one. And Vogue Sposa, Italian. Okay.
Well, happy reading.
Yeah, thank you.
And another thing that intrigues me is how you're keeping what is a newsagent business going as well. As we've noticed, people coming in and out, they might want to buy their cigarettes or perhaps something less highbrow, let's say, like some of the glossies, the weeklies. Yeah. There's Heat, OK, Hello, all the rest of it. So the kind of typical newsagent fare, you're still determined to kind of keep those two services to the community. Is that very much part of what you're doing?
I think it is, because we started off as a news agent for the community, and the community does support us. So there's no reason why we would take that away. But within that, if we can extend what we are doing in a certain way, because these titles really are very, very dead now off the shelves.
So we're talking about the glossies, the commercial weeklies and so on.
Yes. I mean, if you go onto iPad or anything, most of these are available free of charge to download and read. And these are not something that somebody's going to see and keep unless they've got an article about themselves in it or something. But otherwise, it's a throwaway thing. And I think we have to keep it available. And also because we supply ad agencies who are obviously advertising in these titles, then we need to carry it to supply them so we get some extra copies of the shelves. And from time to time, you'll run out of Hello, you might run out of Grazia. Depends what's in it, if it sort of creates that kind of interest.
And finally, it's a slightly mundane question maybe to end, but obviously you're talking about the market and this, you have to make money out of this. After all, you're not doing it just for the love of it. Sure. How does that side of things work? Is there a buck to be made?
I think it's like anything else. If you are somebody who's got a very busy high street position, this thing doesn't matter to you. You're not going to get people who want to be in a crowd where people are buying lottery tickets and buying bus passes to browse quietly and peacefully. So I think everything has its own little niche, and in a way, you can't be the best of all as well. You have to sort of cut your losses in a way and decide this is what you're going to do and stick with that. But a better magazine selection is always useful. I don't think it harms anybody.
Certainly doesn't, and we'll continue coming here. Well, Sandeep, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. Thanks a lot.
And that was our David Pleasant talking to Sandeep Shriji of Shriji News at number 6 Chiltern Street down the way. And I think you might have also heard Rob Bowne's fiance popping in for a few wedding tips.
The terrifying
as well.
Sound of someone buying bridal magazines.
Do you have a top 3 on your news agent list? Because I know you've moved to
Pimlico.
Yes, you're in a new part of town. Have you found a good equivalent of a Mr. Sandeep?
No. To do that effectively, I have to go into Belgravia or Chelsea, but much better would be to go into Soho.
Mm.
Soho is miles better than Belgravia or Chelsea.
Mm.
Because Belgravia is full of foreign people, there are a lot of foreign mags, but they're not always the foreign mags you want.
There's quite a good one on Mockham Street, isn't there?
There's a wonderful semi-bookshop on Mockham Street. It was completely marvellous.
Yeah. And is there, even though often you have a Sainsbury's bag that you bought everything, but would you buy your titles when you also do your grocery shopping? Or these have to
be the basics.
Separate worlds. The basics
the basics you'd buy. I'd buy quite perfectly happily at Sainsbury's, and I do, because it is quite a wonderful Sainsbury's they have there. It looks like hell because it's taken the warehouse look too far, so it looks rather grim and forbidding. It needs a lick of paint and a bit of jogging.
But you would pick up your World of Interiors there, for example. You'd happily put that
yes.
in the basket.
You know, all that stuff, this stuff. But, I mean, it's quite a limited selection because, supermarkets don't take anything that's not big.
Can you find country life in a supermarket?
In Waitrose.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess Waitrose you could.
Yes.
And
we're about to have a Waitrose.
In Pimlico?
In Pimlico.
Whereabouts?
Opposite the raddled old Tesco. Because it's got the worst Tesco in the world, the most ancient, very bad.
There's some competitors for that crown.
I was going to say, I could even think of, maybe it's tarted itself up. But I can remember when I lived near Manchester once upon a time, and it was in Altrincham, I think that had to be the worst Tesco in the world.
It's probably been redone by now.
Yeah, it probably has.
But so you've got your tacky
Tesco in Pimlico.
And opposite, we're about to have Waitrose.
Now, just before we go, I can see you've got the Daily Mail. London Review of Books. You've got Gazette of Sport, and you've got Private Eye, and then I was going to come to you, but you've thrown it in front of us. You've got what is Dear Doctor?
That looks amazing.
It's really a substitute. I wanted there to be a magazine called What Teeth, and because I thought, there's a modern thought, and you could take it on holiday with you and think. Oh, I could have those or those. Or, there ought to be such a magazine. It's absolutely natural development in life.
But do we know who Dr. Chris... I have to describe this front cover. So it's called Celebrity Angels, Dear Doctor with Dr. Chris Steele. So some of the cover lines. Stay sun safe with our ultimate skincare guide, medical tourism, the pros and cons, over 50s healthcare, your need to know checklist, guest editor, Dr. Chris Steele, the one-stop health magazine for you and your family. This is actually quite interesting. Lots of sponsors. This is actually new territory. Lots of mini sponsors on
Very
the front.
Very heavily sponsored.
Yeah. So,
do you think there are in the back there are classifieds for actual professional massages?
I just think there probably are.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but back of the magazine, so some of the ads we're getting: new salt therapy treatment amazes pharmacists in the treatment of respiratory problems. Life-saving cells. That's not really an ad. There's a number of quite interesting advertisements. Weight Loss Scientific Review. The ProNoCal, which sounds like a dog food, the ProNoCal method versus a low-calorie diet. It actually looks like dog food spread on a...
I don't even know what that is.
...bun or something.
It's like something you should roll up and smoke, isn't it? The ads in the back of the... I bought the London Review of Books, but that's the long read section of the beach holiday.
Yes, I was going to say.
And it's nice looking at the properties to rent in the back and all those why don't you become a writer in Greece? Adverts as well, which are always quite tempting, aren't they?
I wanted to get, but not readily available in Pimlico, the New York Review of Books, because there is a completely wonderful documentary about them that I saw at the Sheffield Documentary Festival.
Yeah.
And it's a type of New York person who won't exist. You know, they won't be reproduced. They're completely wonderful people.
And I think many of our listeners know, and it comes up from time to time, it's just the title completely betrays what you get inside as well, because it's just fantastic journalism. And Rob, just well, I actually have a question for Peter. You've got the Daily Mail there, and I'm always surprised because it's incredible the tie-up between the Daily Mail and British Airways. And it always sort of makes me wonder whether Lord Rothermere actually has, you know, a massive stake in British Airways. Do you think that's right, that an airline should be so closely aligned, Peter, with such
I think
such
it's probably closely aligned with Paul Dacre's natural pink sensibilities. I mean, when I say that, I mean that he is quite pink, meaning Britishly pink.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say of Paul Dacre, and I think he probably thinks well of British Airways, not so well of other kinds of airways.
It's a strange thing, though. It's an interesting point. It's quite it's a famously divisive newspaper. To have that as your one paper on a flight from London to anywhere seems kind of a bit nuts.
Or the one marker to reserve your lounger when you're somewhere on the coast of Spain or France or anywhere.
Exactly.
I'm curious as well what's going to happen, because again, you know, all of these newspaper companies, they want to close down printing presses. They don't want to put, you know, all of these newspapers into the bellies of aircraft to fly them to all these holidaying expats all over the world. Because I come back to sort of, you know, is the core Daily Mail reader sitting on their terrace somewhere in the Canaries reading this digitally? I don't think so.
No. No,
or if they are, they're not happy, are they?
I mean, the website's obviously famously mega successful and much visited, or much visited.
But it's a different thing.
It's a different thing.
Core brand.
Your online reader is a gossip hound, whereas your paper reader is pink. It's Britishly
your
pink.
Your online reader is a bikini hound.
A bikini fancier.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter York, lovely seeing you. Have a great time in Devon, but I'm sure we'll see you before, because that's not holidays until September time.
Sir.
Robert Bound, please look after your parents' house nicely.
I will do. I'll do the watering.
On your staycation.
Water the dog, walk the flowers.
Indeed. Peter York and Robert Bound are guests today. This show is produced by David Pleasant. Our studio manager has been Claire Urban. If you have any comments or queries, then drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back next Saturday at the very same time. And of course, you can always listen again at monocle.com or via iTunes or even via SoundCloud these days. But for now, from me, Tyler Brulé, until next time, goodbye.